This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. We're with Paul Schaefer. He lives in Roseburg, Oregon. And anybody that's done any flying in the Northwest understands the dilemma of the pilot who has a problem midair and is looking for a place to set down. Well, Paul made a successful off-airport landing, and he says he had a plan for it. Tell us, first of all, about the off-airport landing there, Paul.
Well, we were en route to the coast from Roseburg. We were approximately halfway over to the coast, about 20 miles out of Roseburg, and I experienced what seemed to me to be some sort of a fuel issue with the aircraft. I had trouble keeping it running, and as of yet, we still haven't determined what the situation was, but the end result was that I ended up having to make an off-airport landing in a logged-off area out in Weyerhaeuser country, and I had thought about flying over this type of country a lot, and looking down at the clear cuts and stuff, they don't always look like the best option, but timber landings have proven statistically not to be very survivable, and so I've always had this plan of going in low to a clear cut, finding having a clear cut that has an upslope to it, going in low and flying up the slope to bleed off airspeed until you get, just down to keep it flying, but get the airspeed down so that when you finally make the impact, it lessens it. And it seems to have worked out.
Okay, well, first of all, we should describe your airplane. I mean, we're talking an open cockpit biplane here.
Yes, it's a Starduster 2. It was one of the ones built with a radial engine on it. It has a 220 Continental engine on it. And I understand there's been, maybe a dozen of them built over the years. But it's been a real fun airplane to fly, and it's been all around the Northwest and air shows and stuff like this, and we've really enjoyed it. It's a very, very tough airplane. It's well-built. It came through the crash surprisingly well in spite of all the damage that was done. It hit almost every quadrant of the airplane at some point. We haven't figured out exactly how it went in, but it cartwheeled and did all kinds of things. But I'm happy to report that I walked away from it with only stitches in my forehead and a few bumps and scrapes. So.
But you were also in the middle of nowhere. What happened after you landed?
I was, and that's the other strong point of this thing, is I cannot emphasize enough the comfort level that you have in flying with a wingman. That particular day, I had my wingman, Mike Danielle, with me, and we fly together a lot and go places together, and he was off my wing when I experienced a problem. I told him what was going on. And by the time I made impact, he was already on the radio to Seattle Center and giving them the coordinates, which he had his GPS and was able to give them the exact coordinates of the crash. It went through the process channels and eventually the Coast Guard responded out there with their helicopter and picked me up on site and flew me to North Bend to the hospital. But having a wingman out there, just the comfort level, in other words, the way he was able to expedite it was really fantastic. And then standing on the ground in the condition that I was in and looking up and seeing him overhead, and surprisingly enough, my radio was still working. I was able to communicate with him and communicate with the helicopter when it got there. So it all went real well.
Well, I guess it went as well as any off-airport landing can go. What's your message to pilots out there?
Well, like I said, the two main things that I think came out of this is have yourself a plan. I don't mean just looking down and saying, well, where would I put it right now if it quit? Actually, have a plan for that type of terrain and fly it in your mind. And the other thing is, like I said, I would encourage people, when you're flying over hostile country, if at all possible, get two airplanes and go. You don't have to be flying you know, wingtip to wingtip formation, but just having another airplane in the vicinity that if something happens, they know exactly where you're at and they can assess the situation and help the people that are being sent out.
Okay, so the Starduster is history. What's next for you?
Don't know at this point. Haven't really made a decision on it. We're trying to get through investigating the, hopefully come up with a cause. We've started assessing the damage on the aircraft. It's rebuildable. Aircraft are pretty much always rebuildable if you got a data plate. So we're just waiting to see what's going to happen at this point. But right now we're don't have any direct plans.
All right. Well, thanks very much for sharing all this with us, Paul. Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.